I'm going to preach tonight, talk, preach, teach from the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Put your Bibles on me and hold on tight, because I want to, the old preacher said, I want to learn you something. Oh, the depth of his words. Now, you got Hebrews 13, 10, 11, and 12. Let's go. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. What is this without the camp, without the gate? What is that talking about? And who are these people who have no right to eat? Did you see that in verse 10? It's two group of people being talked about in verse 10. One's got a right to eat, and the other one has no right to eat. But I want to tell you right now, Horace Mosby, I got a right to eat. So I need to identify who we are. And have this right to eat. It would be good for you to know Leviticus chapter 16. And in some form or fashion, I'll be speaking from this many times. So before I get back to it again, then you ought to do a careful reading of Leviticus, the 16th chapter. Since I'm not so sure we know it, I've got to go into it. I don't have to turn there. We can stay there. But you need to hang on to my words. The Old Testament, in all of its glory, is a type or a shadow of the person and works of Jesus Christ. Brother Quisenberry, if we got a shadow, it's got to be an object. So the Old Testament, then, is the shadow of Christ. Whatever was done refers to him, points you to him, and it's going to be fulfilled when he gets here. Hebrews 13 picks up the shadow and the person and teaches you that the shadow is not as important as the person. Or the person is more glorious than the shadow. In the New Testament, the person of the shadow has come in view. So the person is more glorious than the shadow. You got that a little bit? Now in the 16th chapter of Leviticus, J.B., you have the doctrine of the atonement, where Aaron, the high priest, would bathe himself, put on the holy garments, wrap up with the royal tunic, even down to his linen underwear. The Bible even told the high priest what kind of underwear to use, what kind of robe to use, what kind of tunic to tear around him. He went into the temple or the tabernacle and offered a sacrifice and the atonement, if you look at it, at one meant. And it means it puts us at one with God. And if the atonement had not been made, then the sins of the people then must rest upon them. And you see, every man's sins have got to be paid for, Calvin. Every man. But the difference between an unsaved man and Calvin Doty, your sins were paid for by Christ. Now, in the appointed sacrifice in Leviticus chapter 16, remember, there were two animals used, two of the same, two goats. One was a sacrificial goat, the scapegoat, sacrificial goat. But actually, there were three animals. Because the man who did the sacrificing had to offer a bull for himself. It showed the imperfection of the sacrificer. Because he was just as unclean as the other folk. He had to first get his own sins off before he get them off the people. But we have a high priest who did not need to offer one for himself. Huh? Because he was altogether perfect. Now in the sacrifice, in the burnt sacrifice, they had two goats. After Aaron the high priest offered the sacrifice for himself, he would take one goat and kill him in the camp. Take the blood from the goat, go in and sprinkle it seven times on the altar in the Holy of Holies. The blood of the killed goat was the removal of the guilt of sin. There was another goat where he would come out and place his hand upon its head and pronounce all of the sins of the people, and an appointed man would lead that goat out in the wilderness to die, which typified the removal of sin. See, your sins must be forgiven and removed. Now, in a few minutes, we'll understand what I mean. He took my sins away. You don't bear your sins anymore. He took them away. All right. Here's the thing. When they killed this goat and sprinkled his blood upon the altar, the scripture says, Leviticus 16:27, they were to carry that goat outside the camp and burn it up. It says, even to his skin, to his entrails, everything. Everything about that goat had to be burned up outside the camp because it bore the sins of the people. But this is the important thing. In other sacrifices, after they sacrificed the animals, they could eat them. But in the sacrificial goat on the Day of Atonement, nobody was to eat a bite of it because it was burned with fire. Everything had to be burned. Now in verse 10, there are still religions in this land who are still trying to mix Judaism with Christianity. You cannot claim the laws and the edicts of the Old Testament and claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says tonight, if you do, you can't eat at this table. We have an altar, wherefore they have no right to eat, which serves the tabernacle. What are they saying? For the tabernacle was under the law. We have no tabernacle here. The tabernacle was under the law. It's Old Testament. And the Bible says those people who are still serving at the tabernacle cannot eat because the law said their sacrifice had to be burned up. They couldn't eat. Their sacrifice had to be burned up. They couldn't eat, Al. Wayne, they couldn't eat. But our sacrifice said, eat my body and drink my blood. Do you see any difference? The Lord's Supper is a diametrically opposed thing to the Old Testament. For in the Old Testament, the sacrifice could not be eaten. But in the New Testament, the sacrifice says, eat my body and drink my blood. So every time we come to the Lord's table, we are symbolizing the eating of the body and the drinking of the blood, which under the law they could not do, and those who still hold to the law cannot eat at this table. Is that clear? Did I make that plain? The Bible teaches tonight that we must leave the altar of the Old Testament and come to the altar who is Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian and be under the law. For the Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law. Y'all don't hear me. You read that and never made any sense to you. The Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law to who? To everyone that believes. And the whole matter is, you've got a whole lot of folk starting religions with some, and they're ignorant, bless their sweethearts, ignorant, and they have not carefully studied the scripture. The scripture won't contradict itself. It won't confuse you if you study them. For Christ is the end of the law. And we are cleansed by the blood of Christ from all defilement. For there is therefore now to who? I mean, what else do you want? Why can't people see that? And Christ is the end of the law. We are not saved by rules and regulations here. I mean, we're just not. You say, well, what are you saved by? Well, I'm saved because I don't go to any dances. I don't go to the bars. I don't drink. I don't say any bad words. I mean, most of the I don'ts are a lie. You got saved on one hand, got lost by the lies. I've cast every hope I've got on one thing, that Jesus Christ died for me. I put all of my eggs in one basket. You have sinned enough today in your mind to go to hell right now. Because Jonathan Edwards said 100 years ago that we're walking across hell on a spider web. What would break a spider web? Says you are walking across hell on a spider web, and the sheer weight of you. Mr. Edwards says, even if our body didn't have any sin, Brother Orange, put it on a spider web, it's going to fall. Because a spider web can't hold up nothing. And we are going across hell on a spider web, and your sheer weight will throw you in hell. So everybody in here now, if you got what you deserve to be in hell. I'm coming to the Lord's table tonight because my hope is built on nothing less. I don't need your approval. It's his body, and he lets in whom he wills. And what you better be worried about and thankful for that you in. We must leave entirely the law, and we must come to Christ. I mean, you must come to Christ. It's not that I love a Main Street. I like Elder Warren. I like a Man and Joyce and the choir. That's fine. I like y'all's church. Y'all are nice people. That's fine. Or I want to be a Baptist. That's all right. But let me tell you something. When you get to the kingdom of God, to the gates of glory, he ain't going to ask you nothing about no Elder Warren and no Main Street church and no music ministry and no Baptist denomination. He's going to ask you one thing. One thing. Have you been washed in the blood of my son? And if you've been washed in the blood of his son, you've got a seat in the kingdom. Because if we didn't have sin, we wouldn't need an atonement. And the very reason we can appreciate the Lord tonight is because of what he's done for us in his body. Now, baby, I don't care who preaches anything differently. If they do, they are preaching a lie. It's a lie. And I say this with humility, I think. You need more than a good voice to get up here. I got a 4-page resume. in there on my desk right now from a Bacon church. I've never heard the most ridiculous questions in all my life. And I said, some of these church folk, if they would, these pulpit committees, if they would spend some time in prayer and quit making out these ridiculous committees and these ridiculous resumes and get on their knees and tell God, who knows where their preacher is, to get him here to us quick as he can, and then get up and wait on the Lord. Well, they asked everything. What diseases? I don't know what diseases I got. And my opinion of a resume has always been, why should I give you all the information about me? I don't know about y'all. What disease all the deacons got? What y'all been doing? How much y'all know? No, you ain't getting everything on me. I ain't got nothing on you. I got to come to you by faith. You better take me by faith. You need somebody up here who knows this word, or he'll mess you up. I got to go on. Two goats. Sin is forgiven in the first goat. Sin is removed in the second goat, which is scapegoat. But in Christ, we were not only forgiven, but our sins were removed. The bodies of the animals were killed. The body of the animal was killed in the camp. It was done once a year. Since the sin was placed upon it, it had to be carried outside the camp and burned, or else the sin would have remained in the camp. God does not save you in sin. He saves you what? From sin. From sin. Doesn't save you in sin. Saves you from sin. The bodies were consumed by fire. And when the bodies were consumed by fire, they were declared forgiven. When the high priest came back and said, the animal is burned, Israel says, we got one more year. But the next year, they had to do it again. Every year, they had to do it again. The Bible said our high priest suffered once. He did it once. And in his one time, he put away sin forever. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? Don't you love him? Come on, come here. Come here. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? He put away your sin forever. The body of Christ, like unto the body of the goat, suffered and died outside the camp. The goat was killed in the camp and burned, but Christ suffered and die. And he had to have an assurance from the Father, because he realized he was the antitype or the person of the shadow of the Old Testament. And Christ knew in his death that his body was supposed to be consumed. But over in the book of Psalms, Christ spoke through David and says he has promised that he will not allow his Holy One to do what? To see corruption. He had the promise of the Father that in your death, you will not be like the goat, for the goat was consumed. You will not be consumed. For the sacrifice in the Old Testament died and was burned and had no resurrection. But our sacrifice died as dead as the goat, but early Sunday morning, Our glory. Early Sunday morning, he raised him again. Beloved, the body of the goat was consumed for sin. But the body of Christ consumed the sin. The goat had to die and be burned. But Christ took it in his body, and upon him he incurred the wrath of God. And all that God would pour out upon sin in hell for eternity, he poured it on Christ in 3 hours. What a man! What a man. I mean, all of the agony and the hatred for sin, Christ stood it in 3 hours. For people who won't even say, thank you, Jesus. For people you have to beg to take the Lord's Supper. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. I think sometimes you don't do it like you ought to because nobody's told you what he's really done for you. It wasn't just a crucifixion he was going through. He bore the wrath of God of all eternity. And in his bearing, he never said a mumbling word. And if there was ever a man going to the cross who had evidences against you enough to be released, he could have. You kidding me for Al Johnson? Well, let me tell you about Al Johnson. I shouldn't die for him. He could have read your record clear. But he went to Calvary and died and never did bring an accusation against any of the elect. He died the death of a sinner. Didn't say he was one. He died as one. For the Bible said he became sin. Who knew no sin. Who did he become sin for? Who did he become sin for? For us. That we might be made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The substitute has to be able to do what the risen person did. When Christ went to the cross, he died like me for me. That's why the 53rd chapter of Isaiah said, it pleased God to bruise him. Huh? God got back and struck him with everything he had. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded. Oh, I feel like shouting. I do. I got a dance in my feet. He was wounded. Our iniquity. One more. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. That's a whipping. He whipped Jesus so much that God hadn't been angry about sin since. You can't make God get disturbed about sin because he got all his anger out. He gathered up all of his anger from the fall of man to the last man in the world. He gathered it up and beat his son till he got happy. And sin had made God sick since. Because now God's at peace. He beat his son to death. Took our sins away. The second goat. He took them away. See, sin today has a repercussion, but it has no payment. Don't get the repercussion mixed up with the payment. If you saved, your sin has been paid for. The saints, y'all not hearing me. Don't mix up the repercussions of sin with the payment. Because if you're in Christ, your sins are paid for. The payment for sin has been done in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, shall we continue in sin, therefore, that grace may abound? God forbid. Now, if you teach grace, it'll give folk a license to sin. If you only see some folk who are trying to live right, find those who know Christ paid for the sin. Now, if any of you hear me preach tonight and say, well, they've already been paid for, and I'm going to go out and have a ball. I tell you what you are, you're on your way to hell. You lost. Because you find out a man will give you $1 million every day, even if you slap him. Even if you slap him, he's still giving you $1 million every day. But honey, the appreciation of the gift and the giver will keep you from slapping him. Anybody who knows what Christ has done for them, they will not go out and heap up sins just to be heaping up sins. I'm not trying to live right to get something. I'm trying to live right because I got something. I don't give Sister Ward a gift to get her to marry me. I'm already married. I give a gift because she's already mine. You give God your heart. You give God your life. You give God your ways because you're already His. How am I talking? Am I making any good sense to you? Say hallelujah. One more thing. Ready for the supper? One more thing. Aaron was the sacrificer. The goats were the sacrifice. The altar was the place upon which the sacrificer laid the sacrifice. Listen to me. The man who picked up the goat and killed it is the sacrificer. The sacrificer. The goat he killed was the sacrifice. The altar is the place that the sacrificer laid the sacrifice. Now, the Bible calls Christ our high priest, doesn't it? Who was the high priest in the Old Testament? And he was the what? Sacrificer. But the New Testament says that Christ is our high priest. By what right then can Christ assume the nature of Aaron? By what authority does Christ hold the title as high priest? Now, remember what Aaron did? His job was to kill the sacrifice. Now, if Christ is indeed the sacrificer and the high priest, then he must do what Aaron did. And he did. And he did. He said, no man takes my life. But I do what? Who killed Christ? Right. He killed himself. Let's give the Romans a break tonight. You ain't got no nails that can kill God. You haven't got a hammer that can drive a nail into God. But then we're not talking about God, we're talking about Christ. Oh, when you've seen the Father. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. I am the Father. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing unto us our transgressions, but he took our transgressions, laid them on himself, came in the world to kill the sacrifice for sin. Because remember, when he came, the sin was on you, Mary. He's the high priest. He's the sacrificer. You know what else he is? He's the sacrifice. Mary Lou, he's the high priest. He's Aaron, but he's a sacrifice too. Oh, John the Baptist knew that. Behold the Lamb of God. Which do what? Oh, take it away. Did he take it away? Don't fool with me in this house tonight. Did he take it away? Are your sins taken away? Have they been removed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? And nobody. And you sit up here and nitpick. Come on. I'm living right, trying to make it in. Well, you're going to hell. I've cast myself upon Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to make it in. I'm in. Is anybody in? And you know what? Who's able to hold God but God? What could you lay God on that was big enough to hold him but himself? Well, the sacrifice had to lay on an altar. And what slab of rocks would hold the living God? What altar could a man build to hold God? God is our high priest. He's our sacrifice. And he's the altar. He laid on himself, all by himself, and killed himself for somebody else.
Yeah. All right.
And got up, having raised himself,
yes, right.
And stood with the victor's cup in his hand, and said, all power.
Right.
Is anybody glad about that?
Yeah.
All power. Where? In heaven and earth is where? In my hand. And I have the key to death and hell. You don't have to come by Dennis Ward and Raymond Curtis and Wayne Ganeas and John Wesley, because they don't have the key. If you want to come, you can come. Whether Main Street likes you or not, you can come, because he has the key. Is anybody glad he's got the key?
Yes.
If the church had the key, they'd open the door and put some out, let some in anytime they got ready. But thanks be unto God, tonight our Lord Jesus has got the key.
Yes.
And praise God, he did it outside the camp. Even if the justice, that royal attribute of God, even if justice dismissed himself from the very flesh of God himself and went hunting for my sins, he couldn't find them because he took them away. If you believe what I preached, you can come to the table. But if you don't believe it, you better touch that tray and pass it on to another person.
Yeah.
For the Bible said, if you eat and drink, not discerning the Lord's body unworthily, you do what?
Damnation.
Eat and drink damnation to yourself. Why? Because you have not discerned. That means you have not seen what I've said.
Amen.
I'm going to this table and I'm going to eat tonight. And ask me, Elder Ward, have you seen today? But I'm eating because my sins have been paid for. And they are covered in the blood of Jesus. I don't need the feast days. I don't need the day of tabernacle. I don't need no kind of day. All I need is Jesus and Jesus alone.
Amen.
Is anybody trusting Jesus for their salvation tonight? Oh, give me a glorious church. We're on our way to the Lord's table. We're on our way to the Lord's table. What do you care if somebody don't believe you're saved? I mean, tough. You think I'm going to stay here all night trying to convince you I'm saved? And you've got no heaven to take me to and no hell to send me to? And I'm going to spend all my days worrying about so-and-so don't believe I'm saved. I don't care whether you believe it or not. Because my salvation is between me and Jesus alone. And baby, if I can die with it, you ought to be able to live with it. And I'm going to my grave. I'm going in the grave and let the funeral people put my casket easy down in the grave and put that top on me and then let the tractor pull up and push all that dirt on me and pack it real good and lay them flowers there for 2 or 3 days and lay me in that grave, let the grass grow over me in that grave. I'm going to be laying up in my grave waiting to hear a trumpet. And baby, it may take the whole funeral department to put me down there, but when I hear that trumpet, I won't need nobody to get up.
Yeah.
When that first trumpet sounds,
yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm getting up out of that ground,
yeah.
And meet my Lord in the middle of the air.
That's right.
And there I shall forever be with the Lord. How did you make it over? I made it over by the grace of God. Were you a good man? No, but I was saved by a good God. I came in by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood shall never lose its power. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Wait till I get better. You're not going to get any better. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. If you're waiting to get better, baby, you'll never come at all. Bring him your dope. Bring him your habits. Bring him your everything. Come to Christ. The boy didn't get a robe and come from the hog pen. He came home and got a robe. If you can get a robe and a ring and shoes in the hog pen, stay out there. But you've got to get up from the hog pen, come to the Father in your rags, and when you get there, he'll give you a robe, he'll give you a ring, he'll give you shoes, and then he'll pitch you a party. Amen. For the Bible said that boy came home, and the boy came in, he heard music and dancing. He'll pitch you a party when you come to him. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law, bruised by the fall. Well, boy, grace hath redeemed us. What? Now are we free? There's no condemnation. Jesus provides what? A perfect salvation. Come unto me. Oh, hear his sweet voice. Oh, hear his sweet voice called. Come and he saves us. What? Children of God. Oh, glorious calling. Surely his grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at his call. Blessed salvation. Once for all. Oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all. Oh, brother, believe it. Cling to the cross. Your burdens will fall. And sin's a burden, isn't it? Come on, saints, is sin a burden?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, even when you're doing it and it's good, you got to get up and rise with the gift all next day. Sin won't give you any lasting pleasure. Even when you're doing it, sin is only good when it's going on. And as soon as it's over, you've got more guilt than you can live with. So, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. And Lord, if you just forgive me one time, I ain't going to do it no more. Well, you go through about a month, and then you get, find out nobody caught you, you'll do it again. Cling to the cross. Your burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us. What? So we don't have to go through this every year. He's done it once for all.